time being 6:05, I'll call the meeting of the Pleasant Prairie Village Board to order. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Roll call, please.
John Steinberg's excused. Monica Juhas.
Here.
Steve Kmorkwitz.
Here.
Clyde Allen. Mike Serpy.
Here.
Item 4, minutes of the meeting, September 30th and October 2007, move as approval. Presented in written form.
Second.
Motion by Steve, or motion by Mike, second by Steve. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Item 5, public hearing. Consider Class A intoxicating liquor and Class A fermented malt beverage license for H&N Enterprises, LLC, for the premise at 4417 75th Street.
What we have tonight is the sale of IRAs just to a new corporation. What they're applying for, Harjit Singh, is the corporation is H&N Enterprises, LLC. They're applying for the exact same license that IRAs has right now, the Class A intoxicating liquor and Class A fermented malt beverage for that property at 4417 75th Street. Currently, the name of IRAs is going to remain, and they know if they change that later on, they would have to work with the planning department, and the trade name could be changed at the next renewal. So they're purchasing it actually from the bank. Right now, the Akil is leasing the property from the bank, but H&N are purchasing the property right directly from the bank. So the police chief has approved Mr. Singh as agent. The training and residence requirements have been met, and there's no village account delinquencies. If the board approves the Class A combination license, obviously they'd have to pay the license fees, the publication fees. I would need documentation that the property is, in fact, in the H&N Enterprise's name, so they have control of the premise. And the current license, 13-23, issued to Akil, would have to be surrendered. So at this point, there's tentative plans, if the board approves, that Wednesday Akil will bring in his liquor license, his cigarette license, and then I would issue the other license to H&N with the documentation that the property has been purchased and the payment of the fees. So basically, nothing has changed. It's just putting the liquor license in the name of a new corporation with an agent. I would recommend approval, but it is a public hearing.
Since this is a public hearing, I'll open it up to any comments. Does anyone wish to speak on this item?
There were no sign-ups tonight.
Anyone wishing to speak? Anyone wishing to speak? Okay, I'll close the public hearing, and I'll open up the board comments. Mike?
Is the petitioner here?
He is. Harjit, yes.
Would you come forward, please? Hi. Any experience with running a liquor store in the past?
I have had 7 years. I'm living in Lockheed with a liquor store in Lockheed.
Okay.
And before that, I was living in Jersey. I lived in Lockheed and Jersey.
During your time, any liquor law violations?
No, sir.
None? Okay, thank you.
And could I have your name and address for the record, please? Thank you.
Move approval.
Second.
Motion by Mike, second by Steve. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Item 6, citizens' comments.
Oh, sorry. I was trying to give him. Dick Jankowski.
Good evening.
Mm-hmm.
Just want to briefly update all of you because of the legislative action for the 11th between San Diego 22, which raises at least $14 million. Waiting for the signature. I testified and told you that bill earlier this year,
and it passed the state senate unanimously and passed the assembly 95-1. So we are anticipating that that will take effect soon with the $5 increase that I ordered on May 1st. We anticipate that that will bring in probably about $50,000 in increased fees next year, which should offset what will be requested budget-wise. My daughter will be having major surgery at the University of Minnesota Transplant Center next month, and we need to address, and I've submitted plans for addressing the backlog of uncollected fines. It's inexplicable how it is and needs to be addressed. So we are working on that. Virtually everything that we have asked for is part of that collection effort. We asked for maybe $100-$250 here and there, and just updating things because of price increases. But other than that, the major thing is ADA compliance and taking care of things that have been neglected. So I thank you for your cooperation. Ask.
The Regner Vet Clinic. So we appreciate your support, and we are here to answer any questions that you have when that item comes up.
There were no other sign-ups tonight.
Anyone else wishing to speak? Hearing none, I'll close citizens' comments, and I'll move on to item 7, Administrator's Report.
Well, Madam President, tonight all I have is with us tonight Sandro Perez. He's our new Superintendent of Building Inspection. Today's his first day, and this is his first board meeting with us, so Sandro's was previously electrical inspector for the village, and he was going to do a great job for us.
Thank you. Congratulations. Looking forward to seeing you on Monday nights.
I can tell he's excited, too.
And what a way to start your first meeting with the budget. So we will move on to new business, item A, presentation of the proposed 2014 general fund capital and debt budget.
Good evening. This is the review of the general government budget, the operating capital and debt service of that budget. I will start out with the operating section of the budget. That's the day-to-day operations. And the budget is when the department submitted, they request new programs that they would like to have be approved. And this is a listing of the recommended new ongoing programs that the village administrator and myself have presented here. The list here totals a little over 200,000. First of all, we had the Public Works sign retro replacement program, and this is to replace signs in the village so they meet a certain reflectability, and this is a federal highway mandate. So we put that as toward the top of the list here. And the next program is the police department is to increase overtime. But the actual increase in overtime will be offset by some citation revenue. We're looking at 216 hours of overtime, and it will fund special assignments and operations, such as sting operations discussed during the passage of our new escort ordinance. So That's the police one. We're looking at about $30,000 in revenue, which is a very conservative estimate of what we could get in terms of these sting operations. Court, we're looking at converting the part-time court, which is also a finance employee, to full-time. Dick mentioned in his when he was talking that we were looking at increasing collection efforts in the court, and this position becoming full-time would then dedicate their effort for the additional hours they work to working with a collection agency to collect past due citations. IT, we're looking at two new positions for IT. The positions, one position was recommended by a study that was done by Baker Tilly back in April of this year, but based on preliminary investigation by the new IT director, it has been determined that actually two full-time technicians are needed with staggered shifts to provide the support expected and deserved of all village employees. So these two positions will not just help IT, but also help all village departments. HR, a part-time HR employee. We're looking at, right now, there's only two employees in HR, and one is actually more than 50% at RecPlex, being the director. And this department needs some additional help with all the upcoming regulations and the new healthcare and all that kind of stuff. So, and with the new software we have, too, getting all the records scanned in. So we're looking at a new part-time employee, 20 hours per week. Fire and rescue, to reclassify the assistant chief to deputy chief. Administration, to this is an annual fee for an open town hall online public forum where citizens can give input into decisions that are being made. IT, backup ISP, which is Internet Service Point at RecPlex and at Prang. Right now, there's no backup in terms of or redundancy at these locations. Therefore, if the Internet goes down with police and with RecPlex, it's critical that these stay up and that we have a backup plan. Parks, replace dead trees throughout the village, $10,000. This would be 25 trees throughout the village that have died over the years. CD, with the increase in development activity, this is a request to add one full-time planning clerk to the department for a little less than $50,000. These are the ongoing new program requests that will continue into the future, not just for 2014. These are two programs that are recommended as one-time programs. That means that they'll just be for 2014 and therefore not continue on. The first one is a part-time building sketch technicians for the assessing department. The part-time building sketch technician would assist the assessing department to comply with a new Wisconsin Department of Revenue requirement to have digital building sketches for each building by the year 2015. This right now is proposed as a position, but can also be a contracted. Public Works, to demolish the old Manitronics building and then restore the grounds once the building is torn down. The majority of this cost of $43,000 is to do with the actual demolishing of the building.
Kathy, could you hold a second?
Yep.
Could we have a further explanation on it? On the building sketch technician. Rocco, can you add something to that? This kind of upsetting me a little bit. Like a lot.
The Department of Revenue is requiring assessors to have all digital information about most of our attribute data. Bathroom count, bedroom count, ownership is all digitized. Much of the sketches of the dwellings and most of the commercial buildings are digitized, but a lot of the residential development, the residential buildings, are drawn on paper. Those need to be converted to a digital sketch. So we're methodically going through the year and taking one and putting it into a software program and creating a digital sketch that has advantages, but we have quite a few of them to do, and it takes, with everything else that assessors are required to do, it just takes more time to do that.
Why would something like this have come forward?
I think it's I think it's something that the Department of Revenue has, it's something they can understand in making assessment records better. They had two dictates, digital photos for every property and digital building sketches. While digital building sketches are useful, digital photos don't help the assessment product at all, but it's something that they can understand.
So as the village progresses, we get sketches on every building? And every.
We have sketches on every building. We just, they are not digitized.
Okay. And then as the buildings change with improvements or additions, upgrades have to be made. So this could be a constant.
Right. Well, upgrades are always made to them anyways. It just be in a different vehicle. Instead of on a paper, piece of paper, or a prop, what would be a physical property record card, we've essentially created digital property records. And the only things that aren't fully digitized are the photographs and the building sketches. The showing the numbers or the plan view of, let's say, the basement, the first floor, the second floor, porches, garages, rec rooms, finished space for living area, you know, that sort of thing.
Do you have any idea what it's going to cost this village eventually when we have to contract this thing up?
Not fully, no. It just really depends on the speed in which they can be accomplished. It's been a project we've been working on in the last 4 years, but the deadline is coming up in 2015.
Thank you.
Rocco, one question for you real quick. Can it be a requirement when someone is approved for new development that they submit the plans in digital format? Or is that something that your office has to draw?
They can be submitted in digital format. We use specific drawing software.
Mm-hmm.
It's a software package from Apex out of Texas. It's integrated with our assessment management software such that when we draw the first floor in the basement and the second floor and all the attachments in the garage, and we close that drawing, those square footages update our software packages with the correct square footage for every one of those spatial areas. If we require vendors to provide us something useful, it would have to be in that format. That would probably, I'm not thinking that would be the way to, if we could do that. I think a lot of their work may be in CAD or something similar, which doesn't have a conversion to Apex.
Thank you.
Our next slide is to do with the programs that were requested that are not being recommended by the village administrator. The first one is from the police department to add two new officers, partial funding with a COPS grant. We just found out a couple weeks ago that we were not approved for the COPS grant. Therefore, this program has been moved from the recommended list to the not recommended list until we can obtain funding. IT, new business license software is not being recommended. Engineering, to hire an intern for summer for weed complaints. Fire and rescue, to add one full-time paramedic position. Fire and rescue, longevity bonus for paid on-call personnel. And for fire and rescue, the CFAI certification. Those three things, totaling $128,000, are not being recommended. There were program reductions that were submitted in, and we are not recommending any of the program reductions. The three program reductions are from the police department, the public safety, communications, and HR. Two of them are eliminating positions, the police officer and the dispatcher. And HR is to discontinue pre-employment drug screens, which total $1,000 for general government, but overall $10,000 for the village. But the total of these not recommended program reductions is $133,537. We also asked for any revenue recommendations or enhancements, and the fire and rescue has submitted two enhancements. First of all, to increase their ambulance base fee to bring in an additional $66,000. Pleasant Prairie's ambulance transport base rates are average when compared to other Wisconsin municipalities. Even after we have raised them in 2013, we are proposing to raise our base fee by $200. And then increase permit fees for the fire and rescue department for fire alarms, fire sprinkler, hood systems, and special fire protection system permits by 20%. This would cover increases in review fees by our vendor and help to cover the cost for our on-site personnel inspections by our own personnel.
You know, I just might want to interject at this point that based on some information I obtained from the league in the seminar, I believe we can put these revenue enhancements in, but there'd be a corresponding reduction in the levy. And it's difficult because really the, you know, a significant amount of service, you know, that we provide is to people who don't live in Wisconsin. So, you know, in collecting those rates is a difficult thing. So because we would reduce the levy to offset the fee doesn't mean we'll collect a fee because half the people we serve don't live here and they have no incentive to pay. So so the legislature in their wisdom decided that really wasn't an issue. And so this might end up being just a neutral offset, you know, on face value, but on in practicality, you know, it would be just revenues we wouldn't receive. So for some period of time going forward, we're going to pretend that there's not an increase in paramedic costs or, you know, what we do for that or for fire issues. And that relates to fire, clean water, garbage collection, and highways. And the only thing we really collect off of the that's, you know, tax roll generated is these fees, even though for, you know, for forever, I think most fire departments collect permit fees in the state, and most rescue services associated with the fire department collect rescue fees too. But those call on, those come under the umbrella of the permit fees or the cost of the permit fees.
Not being recommended is the actual new general business license fee. This is a summary of the top four categories of our operating revenue. The biggest, besides property tax, is our intergovernmental revenue, which is going up, down $37,000. The major reason for that is the decrease in the amount of law enforcement grants that we are expecting for next year, which is a decrease of about $45,000. License and permits is going up $280,000. The major reason is due to new development projects. Public charges is going up $46,000, and the major reason for that is engineering fees increase of $35,000 projected, and rescue squad earnings up $4,800. And other taxes is also increasing by $49,000, mainly due to an increase in the utility tax equivalent from our water utility. Here's a breakdown of those four major categories. What's included in each of them? Intergovernmental revenues, you can see, is going down at $37,000 or 2%. The income tax from state is going actually up. Utility and state shared revenue, the portion there is the utility portion that's going up, not the actual shared revenue part. Law enforcement grants are going down. We're estimating ending 2013 with a little over $48,000 in grant revenue, down from $10,000 from the budget. The state is not offering the level of police grants as it has in the past. Therefore, the budget has been decreased down by $45,000. Others include ambulance service grants and the state payment for municipal services, which is pretty much stays equal or even. As for license and permits, we're looking at an increase here of $280,000. The majority of the increase is in building permits and zoning permits. Commercial building permits make up the majority of the increase of 255,000. Zoning permits as budgeted at a higher level than 2014 because of new development projects. Public charges for services is up 4%, or a little over $46,000. The major increase here is in engineering department services, which is billing to developers, has increased, as well as internal projects staying steady for a total overall anticipated increase of $35,000. Franchise fees are staying equal in our budget. These are fees received from Time Warner and AT&T. Others include, which is going up a little over less than $3,000, include fire department earnings, administrative fees, IT department services, weed and nuisance control, and highway department earnings. Other taxes is going up 4% with a major increase in utility tax equivalent. The water's fixed asset values are not affected by the current economic conditions. The water fixed asset value and the village tax rate are increasing, thus an increase in the amount of utility tax paid by the water utility. Others are staying the same. So most everything else is staying pretty much the same in the other categories. These are the other three major categories in operating revenue. Intergovernmental includes our school officer, assessing contracts with other communities, and the utility lease payment. This is down $116,000 because of the school officer only needed part-time by Kenosha Unified and losing our assessing contract with Twin Lakes. Fines are up. Municipal court and parking ticket revenue is up $15,000. All of the increase is attributed to municipal courts. Miscellaneous is pretty equal. It includes interest on investments, tower leases, our media communication, which is advertising in the village newsletters and calendars, which has stayed steady at about $199,000. That was the operating section, revenue part of the budget. Now here's the expense side of the budget. Our biggest expense category is public safety, which is up $119,000 across all public safety departments except for our fire and rescue. Public works is up, mainly due to new program requests, demoing the Metatronics building and the sign. Administration is up $124,000 due to new programs. Also, we have built a contingency in this year's budget, and it's offset by a decrease in municipal court IT and assessing. CD is up, mainly due to a new full-time clerk. And parks stayed steady, even with the new program request to replace dead trees. The total operating increase is $463,000. 25% of that increase is due to personnel services, increased in wages, and also increase in health insurance, which is currently budgeted at 10% increase over last year. And the other 59% increase is due to new programs. Of $275,000, which we discussed earlier in the presentation. These are the departments that make up public safety. They include our police department, our fire and rescue, inspection, public safety communication, which is our dispatch center, Roger Prang, and also including new programs for these departments. Police, one of the major reasons why police is up is because we moved attorney fees for the prosecuting attorney from municipal court to the police department, which accounts for an increase of about $34,000 in the police department and a decrease of $34,000 in municipal court. Fire and rescue, small increases and decreases throughout, ending in a decrease of $9,000. Inspection, weed and nuisance control expense of $9,000, moved from the public works department to inspection. Inspection is now responsible for taking weed complaints and getting the grass mowed if the complaint is not, if the property owner does not mow their grass. Public safety communication is an increase of mainly of personnel. Roger Prang is an increase in personnel allocation They're looking at more time for the electrician to be at Pring and increasing the janitorial service contract of $8,000. The new programs included increased overtime for police officers, offset by citation revenue of $30,000, and a part-time court clerk to full-time, offset by the increase in collections of citation revenue due to collection efforts. Public safety, Public Works is made up of engineering, public works, street lighting, and this budget is looking at an 8% increase, or $145,000. Engineering is increasing in personnel cost. Public Works is also increasing in personnel cost. And the new programs include the sign reflectability replacement program and the demoing of the old Medtronic building. Administration is made up of a big chunk of departments, Village Board, Municipal Court, Administration, Village Clerk, HR, Human Resources, IT, Finance, Assessing, and the Village Hall. And we also built in the contingency this year of $100,000. Village Board has minimal increases. Municipal Court, because we transferred the Attorney Police to Police Department, that caused a $34,000 decrease, offset by increases in the budget. Administration, majority of increases due to personnel change or personnel adjustments like salary and health insurance benefits. IT is down $72,000. With the new IT director, we were able to look through the software maintenance agreements and decrease that account by $41,000. And also we decreased our Tyler project was implemented, or the majority of it was implemented in 2013. And that was budgeted in IT and in travel and training. Finance, the majority of the increase is due to personnel again. Assessing, decrease in personnel. A position was eliminated due to the loss of the Twin Lake contract. And our new programs were the assessing part-time building sketch technician, the part-time HR employee, the open town hall online public forum, the backup internet for Roger Prang and Recplex, and two new IT technicians, technical support technicians. Community development is going up $74,000. Basically, personnel wages and benefits are increasing, and also attorney fees of $10,000 was increased in the budget. New program is the planning clerk. Parks is going down, mostly personnel decreases. There's less hours being allocated to the Parks Department in 2014 compared to 2013. The new program is to replace the dead trees throughout the village, and that $10,000 will cover 25 trees. So here's a summary of all the previous slides in terms of how, in total, the general fund operating budget is looking at being proposed compared to the 2013 budget. We're looking at total revenue increase about a little over at 4%, and offset by an increase of 4% in the expenses of the operating departments. So with a net, with a budget being budgeted at a net break even, as same as we did for 2013. The next section of the general government budget is capital. I will go department by department and show you the recommended capital purchases. For fire and rescue, we're looking at an ambulance, an all-terrain vehicle, a ladder truck, relocate and build station one, thermal imaging camera replacement, the mobile command post, and two projects actually got carried over from the previous year, the fire radio repeater conversion and the self-contained breathing apparatus, which is $416,000, got carried over. It wasn't able to be ordered this year. So we're looking at a total for fire and rescue of $7,689,180 being recommended for purchase.
One thing we inserted in here in the presentation is as it relates to the relocation and construction of New Station 1 is this has been in the capital plan. In part, we had looked at doing a third station, which had actually been earlier than we probably would have needed. But we have looked at, for I think the last 3 years, the need to relocate and construct a new Station 1. And if you look at the site here, you can see where the Village Hall is. This is a fairly old picture. And you can see where Springbrook isn't relocated around the bank yet. But it shows the Village Hall, and there's a land to the north that you know the Village acquired a few years back, which would be where we'd be relocating the station. You want to go to the next one? This is a picture from 1984, and it shows the equipment we had at that point. The fire station was built in 1967. And at that point, we had two International Harvester farm trucks with tanks on them and a pump. And that's what it took to take care of the village. The truck in the middle is a grass truck, and so is the pickup truck on the left, and then there was one of those little ambulances. And that is all we could stuff into that garage from that first date, and we're still at that same point. And, of course, since 1967, the nature of the business has changed. In 1967, we had one firefighter who lived inside the building, and as to be able to live inside the building, it was a requirement that your wife, that one, you'd be married, and your wife had to work as the dispatcher while you were there. And on the seventh day, instead of resting there, you had to move out, and another guy and his wife would come in and man the station while you're gone. So that person, the firefighter, would, if there was a call, they'd jump in the engine and go, and then they would set out tones, and all the volunteers would follow and go to where they want. So at least when they got there, there'd be a fire truck to use. And in 67, that worked pretty well. I mean, it worked good enough at the time. Since then, they became cognizant of labor laws where you couldn't require somebody to live in a place where they worked, and you couldn't require them to be married and require your wife to also work. So that changed. So that had changed. So the next picture shows, just to show that it wasn't all bad at one station, this is the big lineup over at Station 2. Again, three farm trucks and two grass trucks, which were U.S. Army surplus vehicles. I happen to know for a fact, because I was around, you know, two of those trucks were at Station 1. And when they took the good picture over here, they moved the old trucks over to this station. And they went ahead and took the picture over there, too. So, next picture. Now, this is the truck that we use today. And the reason we use a truck like this today, it's a tandem axle. And it can carry 2,000 gallons of water. It's got a big pump on it. And Pleasant Prairie is a diverse community. We weren't an agrarian community like we were in 1967. You know, we have a corporate park we respond to. We have a lot of single-family dwellings in the community that are, you know, larger homes. You know, there's been a significant amount of development in the east end of the village where there aren't any fire hydrants. So we need to take our water with us, and we need to take a lot of it. And the tanks that you saw in those old farm trucks were 500-gallon tanks, which didn't go very far. So for us to be able to do business the way we have to do with crossing 33 square miles and having to either go to a paint factory or to somebody's garage that's on fire, this is what we use. Now, the problem with Station 1 is if you look at this truck, there's two wheels in the back. It's a tandem truck. And we use tandems because they're carrying a lot of weight. And if you don't have a tandem, it's hard on the truck, and you know the truck suffers mechanical problems. But we can't put this truck in Station 1 because it's too long. We can only put single-axle trucks. So we did originally get single-axle trucks, and we started having those mechanical problems with them. So just to get a gauge for how big this truck is, if you think back to that picture you saw previously, this truck is as long as that all those doors are across that station. And get another shot. There's different angles of it. There's the front-end shot. You don't want to see that coming at you. That's the back-end shot. You always want to see that leaving. That's the side shot. Now, this is Station 1, and we have two ambulances that are in Station 1. We have three ambulances all together. We have a reserve ambulance that we keep at the Lattice Tri-Clover warehouse. We can't keep it in quarters. And the reason we have a reserve ambulance is, just like everybody's car, we're going to need to take one of those ambulances out of service, get the oil change, do some work on it, and we can't be without an ambulance. We have to have another one there. So our oldest ambulance is a reserve ambulance. So that could be over here, or it could be over at the warehouse if we need it at the warehouse. And what I'm really showing here is that, and it's hard to see it, so the working spaces are pretty narrow in the back. And these ambulances, if you think back to that little van with a white box on it, to be a paramedic ambulance, you've got a lot of gear that you're putting on these trucks, and they're bigger than they used to be. And I think we're all bigger when they haul us off, too. So this is another shot where you kind of see there's just a narrow bit of room between that pumper tanker, 5615, and the back wall. As they work around and have to load things in and out of those trucks, it's hard to do. Next shot. And you can see on 5611, which is on the other side of the bay, they got their gear, they got their bags. We don't have any place to hang them. On the other side, there's an air compressor to fill their bottles up. There's not a lot of room. And this kind of shows you, as you see the door on the engine there, it's right next to the med unit. Once that door opens up, there's really no space between the doors. And what that, is that the worst of the world? It isn't, unless you're in and out of those things and you're moving equipment in and out of them, if you're training in getting in and out of them. And you want to be able to get equipment to that truck and get it on there as quick as you can. This shows, again, you can see the workbench, which it's hard to work at because that's where the engine is. And here's the front. If you think back to that first picture we saw, this is a lot of bigger equipment. You have basically four engines in there, and there's a grass truck in the middle. But that's what we need to do now. Most of our, as I said before, most of our non-hydrated residential areas are on the east end of the town. And those two trucks in there are single-axle trucks. So and those are older trucks. So we can't replace, to put a truck that we need on this side of town, we can't get it in the barn. It doesn't fit. And that's what we need to have in there. One of the questions might be, why don't you just move it farther out, make it longer? Well, there's two problems with that. One is, what do we do? Well, where do we put the fire department when we're doing that? And secondly, you don't want to have the trucks back behind each other and only have one way out. It just isn't going to work. So this station has lasted us 50 years. Pleasant Prairie is a lot different community than it is now, than it was 50 years ago. And the rebuild of Station 1, we're anticipating that to have 8 bays, so you can go in and out both ways. But it'll serve us, for another 50 years, if not more. The other thing that we didn't show in here because it is the living quarters or the sleeping quarters. We've had our departments made up of professionals. We have men and women, and they're all in the same bunk room together. And it would be better for everybody if they all had, some level of privacy, some separate, shower, cleanup facilities. We don't have room for that in the station. And that's needed. That's a good thing to have. Next, I think that might be it. Well, this is just a closer look, and you can kind of again see in between the trucks there isn't a lot of room to maneuver, and there's a lot of work that happens on these rigs every day to keep them ready, and we don't have that room. And you can see even there. I mean, can I get between those trucks? No, I'm doing sideways stuff going down between those trucks. It's another side. And then you have the hoses that they hook up for pollution control. You just think about a firefighter with his gear and his pack running down between those trucks to get ready. It just isn't what we need. You can see a guy leaning over there. There's another one. So that's the end of that show. The $5.3 million, we really, that includes retrofitting the bay once we're done, because what are you going to do with an old garage? One thing we only have, this is the only meeting room we have. This is the meeting room and the courtroom. And what we'll do with that space over there is put a new floor in it, take the doors down, put up a wall, and that'll be another community room that we have that you can divide it in two, and so you can have meetings down there. It wouldn't interfere with court. you know, we'd have elections down there. Right now we have people driving over to Recplex that are on this end of town to vote. They would be able to, we'd have voting up here, then voting down there. And it just provides the community, like neighborhood associations and everything, another place to meet. That's a small portion of that project. But it is a big project. We've set money aside in impact fees. You know, we have some equipment in there we're going to be moving. And we're going to get the thing done as cost as, you know, as in the most cost-effective way we can. It's not going to be a Taj Mahal. It'll probably look a lot like this building because it's going to be right next to it. I think we really want to keep with the architectural image of this building and that one as well. So it's time to move forward with this project. I don't want to be in a position where, and now I know the board doesn't, where our department is lagging. We have a good department. It's staffed with good people. You know, we've recently upgraded the roster, so we have more full-time people. Not because the paid-on-call people are bad, it's just hard to pick up paid-on-call people and part-time people. And they do a lot of work, a lot of good training, and they take care of a very diversified risk community for what we have here. And we need the facility that's going to support them in what they're doing for their job and going forward, because we're going to continue to grow. We don't want to be Summers where you're thinking about selling your equipment and you can't hire somebody. I mean, for us to be a viable, economically thriving community, these are investments we need to make in our infrastructure to get this done. Interest rates are as low as they've been. I think it's that coupled with the fact that we really need to get this thing done. We're a couple of years, 3 years late with it anyway, is a reason to move ahead with it. So, any questions about that, I'd be glad to answer, and as well as Chief Malcolm Murray's here. He lives it every day. So,
Doug, do you have anything you'd like to add?
I'm talking to the stand.
Thank you.
Yeah, long overdue, Doug. We're looking forward to it.
You know, the neighbors are going to enjoy, I'm going to be one of them, not to have to go to the Replex. Being that I live in 39th Avenue on the state line to go to vote, I go to the Replex. You do, don't you?
Yeah.
I want to be closer.
Maybe.
Well,
that's a reason to do it right there.
No, that's not the idea. But
for these projects, the ladder truck and the relocate and build station one is going to be recommended to be borrowed for. Impact fees of a little over almost $470,000 currently we have for fire station improvement. So that will all be used, including anything we collect up to the date and through the construction of the project. So those are the funding sources for the major purchases in this budget. The police department has three requests. The first one is their yearly request to replace vehicles. This will allow them to replace their fleet at the rate of every 2 years for the MARC squads and every 4 years for UNMARC, which we've done for a number of years. Totaling cost $147,500. They're requesting in-car videos for a little over $75,000 and an automatic license plate recognition request of $17,000 for a total of $239,545 requested from the police department that we're recommending. For IT, we have a total of a little over $357,000 for the IT that we're recommending for approval. We're looking at, they have a replacement schedule for servers and DVRs. For this year, it will be a little over $80,000. Also, another yearly request for storage, tape drives, and backbone replacements of $43,000. CCTVs and access control rollouts. The new rollouts, these are cameras, of a little over $56,000. Maintenance of the data center. Communication, which includes telco, email, and radio, request of $56,000. And the GIS ortho photograph, $20,000. Inspection CD system software of a little over $68,000. And a carryover from this year includes the finance HR finalization of that software conversion, and then also the utility billing software conversion, which will start in February of 2014 and go for a little 6 to 9 months for a little over $23,000. So the total for the IT department, including these projects, total $357,000. These are the recommended road maintenance purchases. The top four gives the dollar amounts that the Public Works Director is requesting by category: microsurface, overlay 2-inch, and micropave, and pulverize, and relay new asphalt. Those numbers total like $1.6 million. We are reducing this request down by $1 million, down to what we spent, or we actually authorized this year to be spent on roads, of $647,000. The request from the Public Works, what he does is he takes the roads that we have, and all the roads are rated by PACER rating, and what we need to do to not have to rebuild roads is when the roads become between a 5 and a 7 PACER rating, they can be maintained with one of these types of maintenance programs, and their life can be extended. Once they drop to a 4 and below, the road actually has to be rebuilt and will cost the village more money to do that. But at this point, we can only recommend what we did last year in roads to maintain them.
This relates primarily also to what we receive in road assistance from the state, and the state has reduced that amount to cities and villages as part of the last two budgets. Towns were excluded from those reductions, but cities and the urban areas were reduced. So this is what, you know, and that money is paid for by village residents when they get their license plate fee or they buy gasoline, and just less that money comes back. And this is how much we have to spend.
Just approximately how much money do we send Madison every year?
Millions? Yeah. I think, you know, income tax is probably, you know, 20 million, 20-some million. I'm not sure how much we send in sales tax, gasoline tax,
and
power plant revenue.
And we get back how much?
$647 for this. We get about $200,000 in state shared revenues. And then we get some of the money for the fire protection grant. So, but right now, the money, when they balanced the budget, that was money they took, and it goes to the state keeps it now, and so this is less. So at some point, there's going to be some reconciliation, because just because the state chooses not to send money here doesn't mean the roads don't wear down. It still happens. So
that makes me feel so much better about our leadership in Madison.
If I recall correct, it used to be $48 million we used to send to the state.
Yeah, it's
years ago.
It's a lot.
That was used to send $48 million.
Our next department is parks, and we're recommending $244,000 worth of projects. Ingram Park improvements, which includes planting 25 trees for $10,000. Prairie Springs Park Pavilion, picnic area number 2, open-air pavilion for $10,000. Des Plaines Pedestrian Trail for over $103,000. A grant has been approved of $45,000, which will be used to help us construct the pedestrian bridge over the Des Plaines Nature Area next to Prairie Springs Park. North Ball Field Construct Pavilion for a little over $110,000. This is to do a simple pavilion with a bathroom and an open air space. All parks ADA compliant, which is make all village park compliant with new pieces of ADA compliant equipment and a pathway for a total of $244,000. Both the North Ball Field Pavilion and the Picnic Area 2 Pavilion will be covered by impact fees. The rest is covered by other operating revenue, including the levy for the capital fund. These are the rest of the new capital programs that are being recommended. Most of these are public works requests, and one includes the storage bay drainage, which is installed drainage in the DPW storage bays, salt shed drainage, installed drainage in front of the salt shed, which is a DNR requirement for $6,000. Pole-mounted speed display. We're looking at mounting two pole-mounted speed display units with data collection at the RecPlex on Tour World Terrace. Storage bay floor epoxy seal for $30,000. This is to prolong the life of the floor surface in the storage bays. Voting equipment for the village clerk is to replace old equipment, add new equipment for absentee center count voting location for $56,000, for a total of $125,000. The voting equipment actually is a carryover from previous years. Not recommended funding is two projects. One is from the Fire and Rescue Department for an automobile, and one is the Public Works equipment storage at Roger Prang for $236,377. That's actually only the planning design of that equipment storage at Prang. We're recommending pushing that out another year before we start designing that and looking at that project. Here's a summary of our capital fund. I actually put in here the budget from last year, or this year, I mean, and also what we're estimating we're going to end this year, because there's some major differences in those two columns, and then what we're proposing for 2014. We're looking at an increase here for the tax levy of a little over $276,000 to fund the capital requests we're looking at. One of the lines, which is new here, is called transmission lines. That's the lines, the power lines that are being put in from the power plant to the state line. We did not budget any revenue for that, but we actually received $387,743 this year. This includes a one-time environmental impact fee of $337,000 and a prorated annual fee for 2012 and our annual fee of $40,460 for 2013. So for 2014, we will get the annual fee of $40,000 for an increase over last year's budget of $40,000. The road grant actually increased for 2014 by $27,000. After we had a decrease in 2013 of $61,000. So for the last 2 years, we're still down over $30-some thousand in road grants. For grants, this year it was Displains. Well, for next year the $45,000 was for the Displains pedestrian trail, the bridge over that. We're looking at, so we have an increase of $15,000 in the grant category. Impact fees, we budgeted $100,000, but we are actually closer to collecting $250,000 this year. But we proposed only $100,000 back down to the other levels to be conservative for 2014. Interest budgeted the same, coming in the same. And other revenue is the sale of the used squad cars for $21,000. For this year, it's $17,500, a decrease of $3,500. So you can see our revenue is a lot higher than what we initially budgeted by almost a half a million. From 2013 budget to 2013 estimate. Capital outlays are actually down from what we had budgeted. We budgeted a little less than $2 million. We're coming in a little less than $1.5 million. And the major reason for that is due to those carryovers. The one was the breathing apparatus that's being carried over from 2013 to 2014, which was over $400,000. As you can see, we haven't borrowed for 2013, and we haven't borrowed for a number of years, but for 2014, because of the fire station and the ladder truck, we are recommending borrowing a little less than $6.4 million. We are using impact fees of $588,000, which is due to the two pavilions and also the fire station. Transfers in is the transfers in from other enterprise funds for the funding of the financial, HR, financial, and utility billing software. We budgeted initially $89,000. When we finally signed the contract with the vendor, they gave us utility billing in with the same thing we had budgeted for the other software packages. So that project's carrying over to 2014, and that reflects in the proposed transfer in for 2014. Overall, we were supposed to actually use more money than we brought in for 2013 per the budget, but because of the increased revenue, because of the transmission lines, and the decreased expenditures because of the carryovers, we're actually ending the year with a $500,000 gain, a swing of $1 million. You can see in the bottom the actual impact fee balances that we're carrying, as well as our unrestricted balance that is being carried in this fund, which the year for 2013 is estimated to end with unrestricted balance of $1.8 million, which will help us as we go into 2014. So that's a review of both your budgets and proposed and the estimates. We're looking at ending 2014 with a little bit less than we're looking at 2013 at $1.8 million. Impact fee balances are being decreased because we just finished a police remodel, which took a chunk of the impact fee money, and now we're taking a chunk for the fire station and some of the park improvements. There's actually a spend down schedule for the impact fees. If we don't spend them within a certain period of time, we have to refund them. So when we have projects that is due to growth, we use them to help fund those. That's a summary of the capital. And our last and final section is debt service. This is a debt service history for almost the last 10 years. As you can see, we've been decreasing debt outstanding ever since 2005. The outstanding debt at the end of 2014 will be a little over about $4 million. But then we'll borrow that additional $6 million, and that you'll see that jump back up to around 10. This is the actual debt service schedule summary, 2014-13 budget versus 14 proposed. We're actually decreasing the levy used in the debt service fund by almost $96,000. That's due to a decrease in the total principal and interest payments, also of around $97,000. So the big question is, how is this going to affect the tax levy? This is a state levy limit, and the levy last year was at a little over almost $9.2 million. The levy limit that currently is our levy limit is $9.5 million, and we are recommending to use the total levy limit, which is an increase of $330,000. 1.15% is due to growth. That's a little less than $100,000. And then plus we were using a debt adjustment of $231,000 for a total allowable increase of $330,928. So we're allowed to increase our levy for any debt service increases or changes for any debt issued after July 2005. Where does this levy go to? We spread this levy over our three categories, operating, debt, and capital that I just talked about. These are the changes from year to year in each of those categories. The operating fund is using $163,650 more of the levy than they did the previous year. Debt is as going down by $95,000, which is being put in capital or operating. And then capital is using $263,000 more in the levy to help fund our long-term capital projects. So look, as again, a net increase of $330,928. This is just a history of the red lines are mill rate per thousand over the last, since 2006, and then the assessed value in billions of dollars and just how they correlate and just kind of the trend that has happened over the last 8 years. You can see we are recommending, well, with the levy that we were recommending, our mill rate will go up from 430 to 437. And that is not finalized yet. We do not have the manufacturing values in. We've estimated those values. And our actual assessed value is going up probably. Last year, you can see it went down from 2.64 to 2.49. What does this mean for a median residential home, our average resident? We did not do a revaluation this year, so our median assessed value has stayed the same at $188,000. So that's a 0% change. The village property tax on this $188,000 home was $810 this year and will be $821 if the recommended budget is approved, for $11 increase, or just over 1% increase to an average residential property owner in the village. So this is a presentation. If we have any questions or have any, want to talk anything about any of the sections, I can go back to those. We're looking at bringing this for a public hearing, the second meeting right before Thanksgiving, the 21st, I think it is, on that Monday.
Kathy, Mike, and to the all administration, considering the amount of input that Madison has on the local municipalities, I think you've done a fantastic job in putting together a good budget. I can't stop thinking of how much better service we can give our residents if Madison would just stay a little bit out of our way. I think that probably goes for all the municipalities in Wisconsin. Half of those representatives probably don't even know where Pleasant Prairie is, but they're going to dictate what's best for us, and we live here. So I guess that's the way government is today. And I guess I don't like it. So, but good job, Kathy. Mike, good job.
Excellent job. You know, question for my Mike. The outstanding debt is coming down for us. How is it going to affect now with the new law passing Madison?
The levy limit law?
Yeah.
Debt is excluded.
They're going to exclude this?
Yeah.
Okay.
We need a motion to accept this and set it for public hearing. So move.
Second.
Okay, Mike made the motion. Steve seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much, Kathy. Job well done. And all the department heads, I know this has been a lengthy process. You've been working on this budget since summertime, and there's been revisions and scrubbing and back and forth. And as the board, when we go through this procedure and we're doing our working sessions, your input and your hard work and dedication, we all take that into consideration. And we do try to give you everything that you need to function as a department. As you can see, we've added some staff, we've added equipment, we're able to maintain the quality of services that the residents expect, and taking on that fire station is going to be an exciting project for the whole community. Not to mention being able to have a community center, someplace where village residents, groups can gather, because we've never had that option in quite a while, and there are a lot of groups that are looking for places to gather. So I fully support this, and thank you very much for your time and efforts. Okay, we'll move on to item B, receive plan commission recommendation and consider a development agreement and related documents for the extension of a public sidewalk and street trees on 77th Street and a certified survey map to subdivide into two parcels the vacant property generally located at the northeast corner of 104th Avenue and 77th Street in the Prairie Ridge development.
I would request that item C also be taken up at this time. I'll be making one presentation, but we'll need separate actions by the board.
Okay. Item C, receive Plan Commission recommendation and consider Ordinance 13-51 to amend the Prairie Ridge West Commercial Development Planned Unit Development, generally located at the northeast corner of 104th Avenue and 77th Street, related to lot size and setback requirements.
Village Board and members of the audience, this is a request for the Regner Veterinary Clinic to be located at the northeast corner of 104th Avenue and 77th Street. This is to be located in the Prairie Ridge development of the Village of Pleasant Prairie. Specifically, they are requesting several approvals this evening that relate to a development that was conditionally approved by the Village Plan Commission at their last meeting last Monday night. Specifically tonight, they're looking for certified survey map approval, the development agreement approval, and a zoning text amendment as well. The clinic that they're proposing will be approximately 4,787 square feet. It's a small animal veterinary clinic to be known as Regner Veterinary Clinic. The clinic will provide medical exams, emergency services, dentistry, radiology, and surgical services. In addition, they will only be boarding hospital cases, which will require the overnight stay of the animals. General boarding or cremation services will not be provided on location. Specifically, the petitioner is requesting the approvals this evening, as the public hearings were before the Plan Commission at the last Monday meeting. This is a slide that indicates what the proposed facility is proposed to look like. The facility, again, will be right at that northeast corner of 104th and 77th Street. The facility is actually kind of to the north, and there's going to be a deck and some other facilities that are at that northeast corner, and the parking lot will be to the south with one direct access on 77th Street. A certified survey map is being requested. The reason for this is they are looking to subdivide the existing parcel out there so that the veterinary clinic sits solely on lot one, and then the balance of the area, or outlot one, is the area that will contain the common open space areas that are going to be shared by the other lot owners in that immediate area. Primarily, it's open space and woodlands and wetlands. Again, this is part of a larger area. When the land division was completed last year, where the new Cheddar's restaurant is located, the plaza, multi-tenant building is located, and then there was a lot three that is a future multi-tenant site. And then this would have been lot four that they're looking to further subdivide. Their lot will have 0.95 acre of land for the development of the Regner Veterinary Clinic. And again, the balance, or outlot one, will have 2.95 acres of land for common open space to be maintained by the Prairie Ridge West Sub-Association. Again, because this is a larger commercial area, there is a larger Prairie Ridge Commercial Owners Association that covers the entire area out there, which they are a part of, but they also have a sub-association to handle some of the specific items that relate to their particular development, such as the private roads and the private water and the common open space areas. As part of this project, there's a development agreement that is being put into place for the extension of public sidewalk along 77th Street. In addition, there'll be an additional street tree that's going to be required. There will be some maintenance of some of the existing street trees that abut their particular development, as well as the Prairie Ridge Sub-Association area. And the sidewalk and the street trees at this time are not being defined for 104th Avenue. They'll just be installed in 77th Street. And then final request for them is a zoning text amendment. There are a couple of, actually four different modifications to the existing Prairie Ridge West commercial PUD that require modification for this development. Number one is the amendment to the legal description to include this particular property. The second is the building and the deck are proposed to be set back 5 feet from the side lot line. The third is to allow on-site sidewalks and patio areas to be set back 5 feet from the wetlands. And finally, the PUD does reference the development agreement and the DSIS agreement for the Regner Veterinary Clinic. For this particular property, the DSIS is going to be owned and operated by the Regner facility, and their DVR will be separate from the other facilities out in Prairie Ridge. With that, the staff is recommending approval of the development agreement, the certified survey map, the planned unit development for the Regner Veterinary Clinic property, subject to all the comments and conditions as outlined in the staff memorandum.
Thank you, Jean. Steve?
I got a question for Mr. Regner. Yes, okay.
Dave, could we have your address for the record, please?
Yeah.
My address is okay. 115 West Bridge Drive, Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin,
153-158.
Yeah, my question is this. If you board animals during night, is going to be anybody in the clinic or no?
Emergency problem, the doctor will be contacted. If we have an emergency, at that point, we'll have at least two people at the practice with the company doctor, probably myself.
So there's going to be somebody in the facility in that case?
That's correct.
Thank you.
That's on an emergency basis only.
Okay. Thank you.
Move approval of the development agreement and the certified survey map.
Second.
Motion by Mike, second by Steve. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Move approval of ordinance 13-51.
Second.
Motion by Mike, second by Steve. Any further discussion?
No.
Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much. We will move on to item D, consider a professional engineering service agreement to survey the easements to address the flooding issues in the Passaic subdivision located in the vicinity of 111th Street and 61st Avenue.
Members of the board, this before you tonight, a little background on the Passaic drainage. A couple years ago, the residents petitioned the village to look at solutions to flooding in the Passaic area. At that time, we did do a preliminary design of a stormwater system to address the flooding. However, in the interim, Mr. Don Dano, who is a property owner in Passaic, offered to construct some drainage improvements on his property at his expense. He did do this last year. And I believe that these improvements did help reduce the amount of water coming to the area, but did not totally eliminate the flooding. So what I'd like to do right now is we're looking at doing a modified design from what we did before to address the water that's still flooding the area. In order to do this, we need to contract with a surveyor to get some additional survey. And go to the next slide. This is the conceptual plan that we have right here. Can I have the, which is the, okay, the conceptual, is that working? I know. Pretty weak. Oh, okay. The plan that we have right now, this is 61st Avenue. These are concepts that were from the original plan where we would improve the swales on the north part here. That's 111th Street, I believe. And then 113th Street is down here. Then we're looking at putting in a stormwater pipe to the south. And then the original plan had some stormwater facilities going to the south. At this point, we're looking at, instead of that, going to the east through property owned by Mr. Dano. So this is the primary area that we need to get survey for. The plan would be to, if this is authorized, we would complete the survey, do the design of this modified alternative, and then bring it back to the board for a decision on whether or not to move forward with the project. and assessments on the project. So this is just the first step to get the conceptual plan put together.
Mike.
The flooding that's occurring there recently, was that always flooding, or was it is it a result of construction and development in that area?
My understanding, at least in the time that I've been here, it's always been flooding pretty much in this area. You know, there hasn't been a lot of development. There's been some development to the north. If we proceeded with this project and did an assessment, we would look at the drainage area, and those would be the individuals that would be assessed for the project. Go to the next slide, Kathy. So anyhow, the contract is for Clark Dietz to do survey for $4,800. I'm recommending that contract be signed, approved. If this is approved, then we're not authorizing any kind of assessment or anything. We're just putting plans together. At some point, we'll get a cost, and then the board can decide whether to proceed.
I think the residents have been very patient with us, and we appreciate that. But I'd make a recommendation for the Clark Dietz for the $4,800.
I second this with a question.
Steve?
Yes. This problem is a long-standing problem that I remember seeing the area flooded way back. And they start when the street, when the enclosure for the deers was done, correct? When they put the double fence, that was the issue started actually.
I can remember being out there and flooding issues in 1985. So it's
before the fence was put in?
Yeah. I mean, not to say there hasn't been changes over time for somebody doing one thing or another, but it hasn't been. You know, Pechés was constructed with no municipal improvements other than a road. There was no stormwater. There was no ditches. That went anywhere. It was just, back then in the town under county zoning, they would approve a flat. They'd divide the lots, put some cinders down, pave it, and there you go. And there was never any stormwater improvements constructed there. So it is what it is. It's just a lot of houses out there over the years, and there's no place for the water to go. And I think, looking at a topographic map, from just a simple perspective, you've got to get the water to move to the lowest area, which is, to the Dano property to a drainage way. And that never was put in. And over time, what drainage was there is filled up. It's, you can clean it up, but you clean it up to some place, there's no place for it to end up.
So. Because the lowest spot is in 113, actually, and goes up to 116, correct?
Well, 113th is low. It goes both ways. It doesn't. But the survey will answer all the questions as to where the water should go.
Yeah, well, okay.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Mike, what do you anticipate for a time frame on getting something back to the board?
The survey, we'd authorize that immediately, and then engineering's going to be designing this in-house, so I would say it would probably be a couple months until, and then we'd have a hearing. We wouldn't be able to construct anything till next spring anyhow, so. But I'm looking at late fall to have a design put together.
Okay, thank you. Motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Item E, consider resolution 13-21 to apply for a DNR-administered Federal Recreational Trails Act grant on the Phase 2 development of the trails in Des Plaines Natural Area west of Prairie Springs Park.
And President, this is an agenda item indicating that we're planning on submitting an application to mitigate the cost of the Phase 2 development of the Des Plaines Trail. As you can see, we have the existing path in Phase 1 is done, the proposed elevated path, which would span the floodplain, and then the future trail, that's a straight line, but actually that thing's going to kind of meander as we follow the wetlands. And this will provide a loop out of Prairie Springs Park, and River Road up to Highway C, and then the county's working on a separate grant to put a bike path and ped path along Highway C, spanning the Des Plaines River and connecting up to the Prairie Farms Trail. So in this, in part of this grant application, and we'll get $45,000. The $103,000, is basically going to be our match. That'll be just, you know, us doing the labor out there. So we're not going to have to come up with an additional $103,000 out of the budget. We'll be putting it together. Last time John did this, he was able to get the Tremper construction project class out there, and they actually built that first half of the bridge. They got some experience on how to put that together, set grade, and put the pilings in, and we're going to try and do that again. So I'd recommend that the board authorize the Director of Public Works to submit the grant application.
So moved.
Motion by Steve, second by Mike. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item F, consider an agreement with Wisconsin Marathon LLC for the 2014 Wisconsin Marathon on May 3rd, 2014.
And President, this is an agreement between us and the Wisconsin Marathon to, again, have the marathon that, you know, runs through Kenosha and Pleasant Prairie. As you can see on the map, there's the route in red, so they kind of meander through Carroll Beach. We had some problems a few years back, but I think they cleaned that up. Dennis Duchesne from the KCVB is here. If you have any additional questions, this has been I think they had like 3,000 people at the last marathon. So it's a big hitter as far as tourism.
Dennis, anything you'd like to add?
He shook his head no when he's coming up.
I'd just like to thank the village for the support of this event. As Mike alluded to earlier, a few years back, there were some issues with, you know, some trash and debris along the route after the event. And since then, we've partnered with the Kenosha Area Union Optimist Club and the Octagon Club from Tremper High School for the past couple of years. And they patrol the course and make sure it's in the condition it was prior to use. So it's been a really good partnership for both of us.
Okay. And could I just have your name and address for the record, please?
Dennis Duchesne, 8710 36th Avenue, Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Thanks, Dennis.
Thanks, Dennis. Move to approve the agreement.
Second.
Motion by Mike, second by Steve. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Item G, consider resolution 13-20, authorizing the disposal of a surplus vehicle.
Yeah, I hate to get rid of this one, but, you know, this van is in tough shape. But the key thing is that Lakeview Recplex sticker on the front is holding that hood down. And they also keep the van doors together. It's 147,369 hard miles.
You know, just this was Mike Polakoff's first vehicle.
How old to say that? How old was your first car?
About 20 years ago, a long time ago.
It's been a
can't
while.
Can't tell me we don't get our money's worth out of these things.
I was thinking that.
I gave it to him in a lot better shape than it is now.
My motion is to do what you have to do to get rid of them.
Steve, second? Is there a second?
Second, yeah.
Motion by Mike, second by Steve. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries.
I mean, the key's in it.
Item 8, consider operator license applications on file.
That's a great picture.
10 applications tonight, and I recommend approval of all 10 of them.
So moved.
Motion by Steve, second by Mike. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Item 9, village board comments. Steve?
No, I just moved my hand.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Motion by Mike, second by Steve. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned. Thank you.